Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with Bhairav Patel and Alan Clark.
Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast, where we tackle the practical challenges that startup founders and small business owners face and give our own unvarnished opinions. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director at Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, where we partner with small businesses and startup founders to help them define and build their tech vision.
And I'm Alan Clark. I'm the founder of the Business Growth Partnership, and we work with high-potential businesses to help them unblock the blockages that are preventing them from reaching their full potential.
So welcome, listeners, to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast. So this week, Alan and I are going to be talking about isolation, how founders can feel isolated as they are starting their business and growing their business. But before we get into that, Alan, how was your week?
My week was pretty good. I got a haircut.
And a shot.
And a shot. So for those of you that are picking this up out with the timeline, yeah, this is just the end of COVID isolation. We're beginning to break out. So hairdressers were open, and I got my jag in the arm and felt like I'd had the biggest night out I've ever had without any of the joy before the pain. But other than that, it's pretty good. I don't know. I think there's a lot more optimism out there in general right now. And I was on a call this morning with yet another great little entrepreneurial idea, another business ready to up and running. So I'm having a pretty good time right now.
Yeah, I actually managed to go out and have my first outdoor beer with a couple of friends who I think probably instantly regretted it because they've got young kids and we didn't get to bed till 3 and then they had to wake up at 5:30.
So, hold on, did I get your hangover?
Yeah, it could be. Definitely. But yes, I mean, last week actually was, I agree with you, things have been picking up. My week last week was manic. I did the company update and I think there's like 25 points of things that I managed to accomplish last week, which was pretty crazy, but it was good. It was a good, good week. And I think now people are coming out of hibernation, or COVID hibernation, at least. I think there's a small window of opportunity before everyone buggers off on holiday.
And yeah. Goes abroad. Well, let's not get into that whole thing. How many people are going abroad this summer? I'm not sure that many are actually going to make it.
No, but hopefully we will be allowed out soon, which will be great.
Because if you go abroad, you'll be forced into isolation when you come home, which leads us beautifully on to today.
Yes. So you wanted to talk about founder isolation. I know it's something that I have definitely been through myself, but you've got a particular story that you wanted to share around Team Rock, right?
Absolutely. I wasn't involved in founding my first business until I was in my 40s. Probably because I was aware of a lot of the issues around founder isolation that always put me off doing something on my own because I knew that would have been a major, major issue for me. The whole psychological thing about me on my own and isolation, isn't that the whole point of the word of isolation, is about being isolated. So when we were founding Team Rock, you know, the seminal moment for all of that was myself and the guy who became CEO in a room one day and saying, are we going to do this or not? So I founded with a fellow founder right from the first moment of conception, and then we were joined by some others along the way. And that really avoided for me, but didn't avoid some of the psychological challenges, let's call them, that isolation can bring. But I wasn't isolated, I had somebody with me. And I think it is really, really important if one is going to set out on any journey like this, that it starts off with a right good understanding of yourself and actually what the issues that you may face are. So I did have a lot of those moments that can, unfortunately for some people, cause massive issues around isolation and around mental anguish and frankly mental health problems. But at least I had Millie there on every step of the journey with me. And I guess one of the sort of many anecdotes from around that was on the day when we eventually, the business was fully formed, i.e. we'd done the big acquisition and we'd signed the 14 million or whatever it was investment deal that actually finally brought the whole thing to life. Was sitting in the airport with him, ready to fly back up from London. And he turned to me and said, did you ever nearly give up, give in? And I went, so many times you wouldn't believe. And what was that about? And I said, look, I just really doubted myself, doubted that I could do it. But you were there as well. And if you hadn't been there, I would never have survived the course on my own. And I said, do you want to know something? Actually, my wife had asked me, when is enough enough? Because this is hard work and it takes a real emotional toll on you. And I said, I'll give in 1 minute after Billy gives in. But up until that point, I can't let him down by walking away from this. And he's a big lad and very loud. He roared with laughter at that and said, I had exactly the same conversation. And he said to his wife, I'll give in when Alan gives in. So the avoidance of isolation for me by having a co-founder was the only thing that allowed that journey, that part of the journey to be completed.
See, what I find interesting there is that, you know, I was in a couple of situations in the past, not necessarily founding the company, but being either one of the early people in it or one of the top two people in that company, right? So the top level. And yes, it was nice to have someone else there, but actually in those circumstances, the other person was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was quite hard to deal with when, you know, all the crap that you're having to deal with is actually the caused by the other senior person, or the other founder in a sense. And that actually, I think was probably more distressing than, you know, some cases with what we're doing at Atom, where you are really the only person managing the day to day. At least if it's your own set of issues, you can work through that. But with someone else, it becomes actually quite a lot harder. So again, then it goes back a little bit to the question of how do you know that founder is the right person to be with, right? And that's a different podcast that we've done already.
Hmm.
But I
think what you're describing there, you know, I'm sharing my one aspect of one of isolation with one anecdote. You know, been completely frank and honest, things didn't end brilliantly with Millie because other things emerged, but we would never have gotten to where we were had I not had a strategy for avoiding founder isolation. You're absolutely right, you know. When we look at the broader issues around mental health, there's legions of stories, examples, anecdotes of people saying the loneliest I've ever been was in a crowded room. Mm. So it's not just about being around other people. It's about understanding. That's why I made the point about understanding one's own personality and how one works. And then been able to manage situations accordingly. And for me, the literally being the one man on his own out, or the one person on his own out, creating a business, isn't Alan Clark. Being part of a team where I can work with other people and bounce off them is very Alan Clark. You know, arguably, I would never have done a podcast on my own. I did this because you suggested it. And it actually took a big boy pill at that point. I went, why not? But I was going to be doing it with you. So that's just me.
To be fair, podcast is a low risk endeavor. But I guess the one question for you there is, does everyone suffer from founder isolation? Because I've seen some founders, and I've worked with some founders actually, who I guess in many ways are fairly oblivious to what's going on around them, right? And I don't know whether it's, they're not necessarily, I don't know, maybe they do feel isolation. You can never live in someone else's skin, right? But you don't get the impression that they really are isolated, because they're probably less empathetic than others. And
I think that comes down to every individual and their personal attributes. And for some people, that is it confidence, is it fortress, whatever that thing is that allows them to drive forward. There are those who just never have an issue. I think they are the exception. And I think most people who create businesses need to be aware of and ready for that moment where this thing, because, you know, actually, have we really defined what thing that we're having? Defined what we mean by founder isolation yet? You know, I know what I mean for it, or what I interpret it as, is actually really some of those mental health aspects that come around feeling doubtful or challenged and lonely and isolation. But, you know, there's lots of other stuff, you know, that one could interpret isolation as you maybe talking about being in a group and feeling that I am the one that wants to yarn when everybody else is yinging. And how do I deal with that?
Yeah, I think for me, there was there's kind of almost a, in a way, weirdly fine line or a correlation between the burnout and the isolation. Mm-hmm. So the more burnt out you are, in many ways, the more isolated you feel. But I remember when, so when we started Atom, there were 5-6 of us who started it. But obviously, there's only ever one person who runs the business, right? On a day-to-day basis, because the other guys are doing their fulfilling their roles. And I remember my kind of not epiphany, but the moment I realized I wasn't alone was at the IOD. There was a group called the IOD 99, which unfortunately doesn't exist anymore, but it was made for startup and entrepreneurs. And I remember being downstairs at the event, and then there was a group of us. I don't know how, there must have been about 4 or 5 of us who were just sitting there, had met during the event and having a drink and then sharing stories. And then you, I think everybody around that table realized that they weren't alone, that they're all the things that they were thinking, were common. And it was a usual experience in it. And people had different years of experience in founding. And I think that that was a real eye opener. And actually, I'm still good friends with all of those guys, even though maybe we haven't seen each other as much, but still in contact with all of them, because I think that was, it's a very strong bonding, mechanism, I guess, sharing those stories. But to your point of what do you feel about what is isolation, I think for me it was always where you don't feel that there's anyone who understands what you're going through or doesn't understand the issues that you're dealing, and there is no real person you could turn to say, okay, I have this situation, how do I solve it? Because you always feel that every problem that you're dealing with is unique, when actually they're not.
Far from it. And it's interesting when you talk about your 99 clubs there, because one of the points that I was keen to share with anybody who's listening into this podcast who is nervous or is suffering these, nervous about the potential for, or is actually suffering some of these challenges, is accept that it's normal. Don't think it. Even those who appear to be doing fine, they maybe are, and they don't have these issues, but they are exceptionally unusual. And most people will have these concerns and these issues, and that's why those kind of peer support groups or mentor relationships are so valuable. Because even those most successful or those most together people, usually, and they can share their vulnerabilities when the moment is right by saying, yeah, I know exactly how that feels. I remember, and this was about the fear of failure. I remember one night, and you know, you've got to laugh at it in hindsight. I'd been on a call, and it looked like our deal was collapsing. And it was a Friday night, and then we were going to watch I'm going to, reconvene on Monday. And I sat down with my kids to watch the Jack Black movie, School of Rock.
Right.
So Jim and I was in the middle of trying to set up a rock music business. And I'm trying to get out the mindset of, oh my God, I messed up the future. The last thing I wanted to do was watch a blinking movie about rock music. And I sat the whole way through it, looking at my kids, at that point, well, 8 and 9, thinking, I've failed you, I've let you down. And I was not in a happy place at that moment. But the reality of it was, no, I hadn't. No, we were just working through the process. Yeah, there is no guarantee. If I wanted a guarantee, I shouldn't have tried finding a business.
No, it's that weight of responsibility, I think, at least for me, is that you do end up realizing that, okay, when you've got not only family, but the employees as well, right? So, and the number of employees as that grows, you suddenly start feeling, well, hang on. If I make one wrong decision, then it could all go horribly, horribly wrong, right? But then that is life in general. And
another point, I've written a few notes down here, again, of things I want to share. You've touched on this one already. And this is something that somebody said to me about the wear, the veneer of positivity.
Mm.
And absolutely, that when we see people who we think are sailing along and everything's absolutely fine, they're probably, not always, but probably those who are having the most difficult time of all. But they lack that ability to be vulnerable. And they're unwilling to share what's actually going on. I've never met anybody who I admired or respected who certainly didn't run around advertising that, hey, I'm a vulnerable individual. But as I got to know them, didn't say, we all have our doubts, we all have our moments. How we deal with them is what really helps. And if that means going and getting professional help, go get professional help. If that means having a mate you can talk to, if that means having a business coach you can talk to who's able to then help you reset perspective, that's invaluable. So for anybody listening in who does fear this idea of isolation, And this sense of, oh my God, I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. Yep. It is important. That shows it actually matters to you. But you are not the first person to have felt like that, and it doesn't have to become overwhelming and overbearing and prevent you from being successful and taking positive action.
And to follow on to that, so there was a post that made me really angry on LinkedIn. I saw, I can't remember when it was, a while back. And it was another one of the Elon Musk quotes, right? And I'm not a great fan of him as a guiding light, not someone you should really look up to, right? And it was along the lines of, you know, a real entrepreneur, they don't have problems. They always find solutions. They get on with things. They're out front and they're leading and they can do all of the, and they can break down all walls and they don't need, you know, don't, entrepreneurs don't need advice. I think that was it, right? And I just thought that's utter rubbish. And the worst thing about it was posted by a guy who's a mentor on a startup accelerator, right? So essentially undermining his own job. But I just thought that's absolute rubbish, right? Yes, you might think that you're invincible, but it's not the case. And all of these people, the bravado that you see out there, it's all bullshit. It's not true. These guys that say, oh yeah, I got out there, I did it by, they didn't. They had someone in there to support them, right? They had a wife, they had a family, they probably had a big investor or someone behind them who gave them the cash to start things off. You can guarantee that those investors didn't just let that person go off and do their own thing, right? So I think there's a lot of this, you know, it's all about being the leader and being out there and gung ho and getting it done. But, you know, you need to, you'd be crazy not to take the support or even seek the support because you don't know everything. And also all the things you're going through, unless you've done this many times before, you won't have been through them, right? And there's plenty of other people that have. And I think it's important that, you know, you don't listen to these people that say, you know, you've got to be out there on your own.
Absolutely. That a lot of that is that veneer of positivity.
Mm.
And everything looks absolutely wonderful. So one day they don't turn up anymore and you find out the business went flat. And they are now hiding because they don't want to ever appear vulnerable. And now that actually it's failed, they're probably having a much worse time and they never have needed to do that. Had they been willing to ask for help earlier on.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, isn't it? It's making sure that from the early stages, you're surrounding yourself with people that can push you forward when you may hit problems. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a single advisor across the board, but you may need someone to specialize in finance or to specialize in sales or something like that, right?
Well, also helps. And this is where, you know, the group work of accelerators or incubators or whatever form it happens to come in, working with that peer group and then understanding that actually most people share the same four issues, and actually the collective mindset and the collective problem solving may actually come up with answers that any individual was never going to find. Is really, really valuable. So whether it's a formal network or an incubator, accelerator, whatever it happens to be, or an informal network of just joining a group, be it, you know, the monthly meetup club in the form every first Thursday or whatever, or increasingly now, you know, these things are happening online, not just because we can't go to the pub, but in addition to going for a beer, can be hugely valuable in terms of allowing one to reset one's perspective, but also coming up with practical solutions to practical problems. Another great, and I guess this is maybe where your reference to having a, you know, it's a very grand title, a business coach. I don't really like stuff like that. Call it maybe a mentor or a trusted advisor or someone that you can talk to, who actually will help you with that accountability and actually what is that phrase? A critical friend. Somebody that they are willing to put their arm around you when you need a bit of support. Somebody that is willing to call you to task when actually you need called to task.
Oh, 100%. And I think that's the key, isn't it? It's one of these things that, yes, you need sympathy, but you also sometimes need to kick up the butt.
Oh. Well, you need both simultaneously, carrot and stick, is often, you know, we've all heard the footballing analogies of Alex Ferguson, who's absolutely simultaneously brilliant at telling his team, but instilling the confidence in his team that they were the best in the world, while equally managing every individual to improve and develop where they were. And that was, you know, it's not all sugar and it's not all the other stuff either.
No. And I think, actually, I think the other thing is that it's a self-realization thing, right? So as we're getting onto the coach, it's a self-realization thing is that, yes, you may feel that you are not necessarily invincible, but you may feel that you've got the shoulders that are broad enough. But, you know, everyone goes through these issues and there is no harm in having someone out there to be a critical advisor and actually to challenge you in ways that you don't necessarily like, right? And I think that's another thing is that people don't like being told things they don't like to hear, which I know it sounds obvious,
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it sounds obvious, but I think it's one of these things that it needs to be done because it's holding up a mirror, right, to yourself. Because a lot of the times people, you know, when you're talking to people, no one's ever solving a problem. I mean, I think when I've talked to friends or I've been on the board or whatever it is, you don't really necessarily solve the problem. You get the person to get the solution themselves, right? Just by being devil's advocate.
Definitely. I think one of the core themes, I said it right at the beginning, is understanding yourself and doing a bit of self-analysis right at the beginning. To understand both the depending on your personality, the positive aspects of being able to say, actually, I am really good at fronting up and just getting on with it. And that is an immensely valuable attribute. But even in doing that, sometimes somebody has to be there to say, you know, there's overwhelming positivity, but actually the reality is not what you are portraying right now. We need a reality check. But equally on the other side of that, having somebody who is maybe more doubtful and maybe a bit more like myself, and having somebody who can say, well, let's take a cold hard look at this. Actually, yeah, it's not perfect. But there's a heck of a lot of good stuff going on. And if, you know, maybe that is fair for some people, having a co-founder is actually necessary. And finding that right co-founder, as you said, we've had a chat about that previously, but for some people, it's just not about doing it that, you know, it's not about being a solopreneur. That's just not what they're built for. Particularly for those who feel that isolation may be an issue. And we see, you know, you don't have to spend too much time on Google before you begin to realize the mental health anguish that so many people are, who are running businesses, not even founders, but running businesses of scale, find themselves with by the sense of isolation. Exactly as you said, it's not about being on your own and not knowing what to do. Sometimes it is being surrounded by people and supposed support, but actually not really getting what one needs from it.
Yeah. And I was going to tell a story about when I realized I was the adult in the room. And that's when I think it all kind of hit me. So I remember when I was working at Aztec and, you know, we'd hired 40 people day one, more or less. It was ridiculous. And then a few months in, I was taking over operations in IT, and I sat there in this thing where the people were having, you know, team leads weren't doing the thing that they were to be doing, and the team was upset, and there was all, and so I ended up having to mediate, and I sat there thinking, oh my God, I'm actually finally, like, I was like, why are these people just not understanding? It's like, oh my God, I'm the oldest person here. I am the adult in the room. And then that kind of hit you. And then it kind of gave you that sense, a little bit more of a sense of isolation, because you realize you're 10, 15 years older than everybody else in the room. And then you can't behave like them. It's not like I could then you realize you, you know, it wasn't like I was drinking with them every Friday, at the very beginning anyway, but you know, you know that you have to leave after a certain amount of time. If you do go for after work drinks, you're not going to be there till 3 o'clock in the morning with a, you know, tie around your head. You're going to be leaving it after a couple of pints and then going off and trying to do something else with it, and another bunch of friends. And that also is a little bit isolating as well, especially for startups, right? Because once you get to a certain stage, you feel that everything should be pally and everyone should be together, but then ultimately it can't always be like that.
No, and that is about leadership, isn't it?
Mm. Definitely.
So what conclusions do we draw out of this?
Well, I think, you know, there's always a lot of talk about mindset and mental health. And I think it's been understated for so many years now, because it really wasn't the thing to talk about as an entrepreneur or business leader, right? You just went on and did it. But actually, but you can actually see it in the behavior of people as they've gotten older. If you can see, like, even if you look at some of the big successful people now, right? They go a bit AWOL. And you can see how they are going in ups and downs, and Twitter feeds now make it more amplified, right? You can see their breakdowns in front of you. And where it was hidden before, you can see it a little bit now. And I think it's important just to, when you're starting out, try and get yourself into a group, a community that you can at least express yourself freely. And I just want to say one thing, that there's Startup Grind that's based in Scotland and around the world. They have just recently started a new program for entrepreneurs to get support from other entrepreneurs. And that seems like an interesting one, because it's not only just about going and asking for help with anything, but you can also talk about real issues that you have. And I think finding communities like that, like I said, I had the IOD 99. It's great. You know, it really does help you understand that you're not doing it alone.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think that's a really good point to conclude on. It is not easy. It's really challenging for the vast majority of people. You will hear all the good news stories and all the positivity, and seldom do we ever really hear the honest reality of it's hard, it's challenging, it's difficult, it's emotionally very challenging, but actually it's normal to feel that way.
For sure.
Great. Well, thanks very much for joining us in this episode of Real World Entrepreneurship. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Many thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast today. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all the main podcasting sites. And if you'd like to learn more from us, you can contact Alan. He's alan@tbgp.co.uk. And you can find me at info@atomcto.com.